Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robert Funk. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Will you please pray for us?
Yes. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have blessed us with, Father, this time to rest, to reflect and study your word. Lord, it's a time that we can come together to worship and praise you, Father, for you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Thank you so much for all that you have been teaching us these past weeks and drawing us closer to you. Lord, you have so much to teach us. And Lord, I just ask that you quiet our minds and let us be still as we study and meditate upon your word. Keep any distractions away. And let us just draw closer to one another, and most of all to you, Father. Thank you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the wonderful prayer tonight. Okay. We're glad to be back tonight. And for those of you who are joining us, we welcome you. And our teaching is still on David. Last week, we thought on concluding David, but we discovered another major aspect we know you will love so much. So we're going to deal with that for two, three more weeks before we conclude David. All right. For those of you who were with us last week, you go, they said they would have concluded David. But we discovered another aspect of David that is so important. And we want to deal with that. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yes. We got to deal with it. Okay. All right. For those of you that are joining us by way of phone, if you want to ask a question during the teaching, please write down this number and call this number. Leave the question right there. You can call several times. You got two, three questions. Just leave it right there. We are going to get back to you. The number is 561-406-9853. Please write it down and leave your questions there. For those who are with us by way of computer, a tablet, or whatever you're using, we want you to use the chat, all right? Just look below and send us questions, and we'll be able to deal with those questions at the end of the teaching. We'll unmute everyone. So it's a great blessing that we'll unmute everyone, and then you can ask your question. You can make whatever comment that you want to make. All right? We are asking you to keep everything quiet around you, radio, phone, TV, etc., because our teaching is live. So we pray that you will just let's keep this unique so that we'll focus on this teaching. All right. Let me read our text for tonight. The text is here. I want to read that. That's very great. Okay. It's in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I love that. Let me read that. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. That's Jesus himself speaking. He is the root and the offspring of who? David. So, the key thing that we'll be talking about tonight, last week let me just recap a little bit. Last week we discussed the various marriages that David had. All right, we discussed that. And we know that there were a lot of issues in the life of David with some of the marriages he had. We thought that David had 8 wives, 10 concubines. In fact, the concubine might be more, but what was recorded in scripture is what we're counting on. Because according to him, when he was on the run from his son Absalom, he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. Does that imply that he had more than 10? Or he only had 10? So this is where we don't know. But he had 8 wives, 10 concubines that we read about in scripture, 21 children. So if please go back to the video that we have out there so that just go there for details. You will learn more and more. The study that we have done, David, is very great, and you will love it. Now, we will be discussing a major issue where the scripture have always said Jesus, the son of David. Is Jesus truly the son of David? This is where we need to. This is our point of discussion tonight. And we'll be doing that for I think about 2 or 3 weeks. All right. How could Jesus be the son of David if David lived approximately 1,000 years before Jesus? How can it be? We can't understand that. But is it true that Jesus is the son of David? So, what do people mean when they refer to Jesus as the son of David? What do they really mean? What are they seeing here? What are they thinking about here? Jesus, the son of David. Jesus was called the son of David during the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When Jesus was entering Jerusalem, we all know the story. People took palm branches and they came, "Oh, son of David, hallelujah, hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord." What were they saying? Is it true that Jesus was the son of David? Is that true? And if it is so, then there is another area where we need to think. Can we say that Jesus is the son of David and David himself called him Lord? I can't understand that. Now, David himself called him Lord. Then how can he be the son of David and David call him Lord? Here, what we're going to do for you. This is a great study. Hey, keep hanging on. Great study tonight. There are 3 ways to prove that Jesus is the son of David. 3 ways we're going to prove to you. Number 1, Jesus is the son of David in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke. We're going to prove it by way of genealogy, that Jesus didn't find root in the line of David. And in fact, this is our focus for tonight, because we're going to pick up the second one by next week. Okay. Then the second thing that we're going to talk to you about is Jesus, the son of David, through God's covenant with David. We're going to find out that he became the son of David because God made a specific covenant with David. And that is another study that we're going to pick up next week. Hey, come on. It would be great time, great study. Now, the last point that we will study on this, Jesus is the son of David to fulfill God's redemptive plan for his creation. Now, three ways. We will prove it by way of the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, by way of God's covenant with David, and God's redemptive plan for creation. Now, today we are going to focus on the 2 genealogies presented in the New Testament, as in Matthew 1:1 and Luke 3:23-38. That's our point of discussion tonight. We're going to focus on that. All right? Okay. Now, here are the specific things that we are going to study in here. In this study, the participants will be able to understand and believe that Jesus is the Son of God that can be proven through genealogy. We're going to study tonight. We're going to find that out tonight. The Gospel of Matthew traced Jesus' descent to Joseph, and Luke traced it through Mary. Jesus' claim as the offspring of David is also found in his genealogy. So these are the key objectives that we're going to serve tonight in our time of teaching, okay? All right, now, I wanted to review a few biblical texts that support this. The first thing was our text for the night. As Jesus said in Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David. That's another text. We use that as our text for tonight. And the second one is in Matthew 15:22. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. A Canaanite woman came and addressed Jesus as the son of David. Now, in another text in Matthew 20:30, and the two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cry out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Here we go again. Son of David. Now, this is an area that we need to look at. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people acknowledged him as the son of David. And we're just going through these few texts, scriptures, but we have a lot in scripture that will just go on and on. The crowd going ahead of him and those who follow were shouting, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's in Matthew 21:9. Now, these are quite a few, and that's another one here that I want to read. When in the temple in Jerusalem, the people addressed Jesus as David's son. And that is in Matthew 21:5. And let me read that text to you. Quote, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna unto the son of David, they became indignant. They got angry. So, now, first tonight, we're going to prove to you that Jesus, truly the son of David, is found, Jesus is the son of David, is truly found in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke. That will be our point of study tonight. Now let's just wrap.
Yes.
Oh, are you there? Do you have any comment?
Before we go I got a few.
Okay.
I'll save most of them until we get to the first set of genealogies. But one thing to remember or to note as well.
Yeah.
A son in the Hebrew culture, in their customs, when they say a son.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean, as we sometimes think of in our Western mindset, that, oh, this is my son, you know, my direct descendant, my own child.
Right.
To them, it could be a grandson, a great-great-grandson. They still use that term. So that's one thing to keep in mind as we're listening to the genealogies.
Right.
And then I want to encourage the readers, as they're listening, listen to what is said and how it is said. It is very important because there's a couple things that are happening that we'll discuss in just a few minutes.
Right. Thank you, man. Great, great, great. You nailed it. Okay. Now, let us start with the genealogy of Matthew. Now, Matthew from chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and following, we find out that it's laid out here, and let me just say to you that we have handled this genealogy in one of our teachings, okay? So we're not going to go into it like what we did in the other teaching. Please look at that other video, because we were able to explain why each question is here. All right, but there's major thing that we're trying to trace here tonight. So, which is to found Christ as the Son of David, and how he became the Son of David is what we are about to trace tonight in this genealogy. All right. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Now, here we go again. The Son of Abraham. Now, that they trace that, the Son of David, and then to Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. We know that. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez. And so you can look at it. And then whose mother was Tamar? And we talk about Judah. We talk about Perez. We talk about Zerah. In our other teaching, you can refer to that video. And Tamar, why she was mentioned here. But this is our key focus tonight. So we just go ahead and let's see where we are. Now, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of David, of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Now, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. And Abijah, the father of Asa. Rob, you said you got something here? You got a note here? Or should we go ahead?
Not quite yet. Okay. Just a little ways farther.
All right. Okay. Now, and if you come to the genealogy, Asa, the father of this, and just Joshua, the father of this, and we come all the way where we will... You know, you can just go through the genealogy. But here we come on verse 12. After the exile of Babylon, Jonica was the father of Shentia, and Shentia the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel the father of Ibia. And then we can go on and on and come up with those genealogy. Here is the key focus, beginning verse 15. All right. Eliah, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. Now, note this Jacob here. Mathan, the father of Jacob. Note that very carefully. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. 14 generations from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. Now, here are quite a few things that I want us to note here. We see Joseph as a key figure in the genealogy. Joseph, that was betrothed to Mary, comes through the line of David. Don't forget that. This is the key point that we, and I love what Rob said just a while ago. All right, when we are talking about sons or children, when you think about it in terms of the Western mind, you're going to miss the whole thing. All right, I think Rob mentioned that. All right, when you think about it in terms of the Western minds about your biological children, then you're going to miss it. All right, okay, Matthew follow. The genealogy of Jesus through Joseph. That's why Matthew did. He followed it through Joseph, focusing on Joseph as the son of Jacob, who descended from the family line of Solomon, the son of David. Now the second genealogy that we're going to look at tonight is the one in Luke. And we can find that in Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 23 to 38. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthan, the son of Levi, the son of Micah. Here, this is the key area. now that we would look at. So you can just look at this, and we're making a key point here, a stop here to Hilly. Who was Hilly? Okay, this is one of the key areas that we need to study. You just go to the genealogy and come up into that, and but the key point here is the genealogy in Luke started from there back to the garden to God. But the key point that we need to look at very carefully here is who was Jacob? And then Hilly. Now with the genealogy of Jesus in Luke, Luke traced this to Mary. You see, why Matthew traced the whole thing, all right, to Joseph and to David. So you find out that Joseph and Mary, they are descendants of who? Of David. Oh, this is a great point. Hey, Rob, I think you said you have a note here. I'm seeing you right here.
Yeah, actually, we missed a couple of things that I want to go back to before.
Thank you. Yeah, go connect a wrap.
So, one of the points that is important in Matthew's genealogy, I just want to reiterate, anytime there's a genealogy, it's important to pay attention to the details. It's so easy just to skip over because we see all these names.
Right.
But there's a lot that is happening, both in how Matthew conveys this information in the way that he lays it out, and then also in the names. There's some very important things that are happening. So one of the first things is the significance of the number 14.
Right.
Gematria, which is where a numerical value is assigned to a word or phrase, is the belief that those words or phrases are identical with those numerical values, and they have a relationship to each other.
Right.
So it's important to pay attention to this because it's emphasizing the point that's being made about the lineage of Christ. So 14 is two sevens. The number seven suggests completeness and covenant. 14 was doubly complete since it was twice seven. It's a double measure of spiritual perfection. And seven is the number of the covenant and divine perfection. And two is the number of incarnation. So Matthew, by employing this approach in the genealogy of Christ, he is emphasizing the fulfillment of the promise to David and the perfection of Jesus Christ in fulfilling that promise.
Right.
First, numerically, David's name, when you look at it, it's three characters. Their sum is 14. It's 4, 6, and 4, also 14. So Matthew is thus paying homage to David. And I like one of the things I've read in doing this study by Dr. Scott Hahn, who wrote, in other words, when Matthew divides the genealogy into three groups of 14 generations, he numerically repeats David's name perfectly, complete, three times. Matthew is showing us that Jesus is the perfect son of David, in whom all the promises God made to David are complete. And then by repeating this three times, Matthew is also alluding to divine completeness and perfection, for three symbolizes perfection of Godhead, the most holy Trinity. You know, in Scripture, three represents that which is solid, real, substantial, and something incomplete, in completeness. So it's indicating something important here as well. So here we have this painting of the lineage, not only showing his heritage, but then also the perfection in how it's laid out. You know, and Jesus' ministry lasted 3 years. It covered three Passovers, and he rose from the dead on the third day. So we see all this tied up. So three groups of 14. So that's one part.
That's one.
And then in Matthew, who was writing to a Hebrew audience, he's tracing the line of Joseph. And there's several points that are happening here that's very important that Matthew is using to establish Christ's authority both as king and Messiah. First, the promise had been given to King David.
Right.
Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. That was 2 Samuel 7:16. And remember, as we've said throughout this day, that God is the promise keeper. And in Christ, he fulfilled the covenant. The next point is that the Messiah was prophesied to come through the line of kings and to be heir to the throne. And we read this in Jeremiah 23. So the importance of Joseph's lineage here that Matthew lays out is it establishes Christ's royal, his royal genealogical lineage, his heirship to the throne of David. And it's this line of heirs who actually sat on the throne that Christ descends through. So the next point is that King David was anointed by Samuel to be heir to the throne. He thus became the Lord's anointed one. Now, here's something interesting. In Hebrew, the word that is used for anointed is Mashiach, which means the anointed one or the Messiah. So the kings were the anointed ones, a Messiah, if you will, pointing the way to Christ that is to come. And in Greek, the word for Mashiach is translated Christ. In other words, every king in David's line was one of the anointed ones. And Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Anointed, or Jesus Christ. So, again, we see painting picture of what's coming.
Right.
Pointing to the Messiah, who's both an earthly king as well as a redeemer. Hence the kingship redeemer. Now, there's something else that's in this lineage that you don't see right away.
Right.
And that is actually a curse that is placed upon Solomon's descendants, who were the kings of Judah. Because as time passed, some of them became exceedingly wicked. In particular, Eliakim, who was given the name Jehoiakim, repeatedly, he repeatedly blasphemed God. And because of his actions, a curse was placed upon his descendants in Jeremiah 22, verses 28 through 30.
Right.
His son was Jeconus, that is, Konia, who inherits this curse. And it reads, "Is this man, Konia, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore art thou cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." So none of his line are permitted to rule. Yet Joseph descended from Eliakim, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, 13. So, if Christ had been of his blood, he couldn't sit on the throne. However, because he was the adopted son, the curse doesn't apply to him. And only Christ could accomplish this as the royal heir to the throne, directly from one of the descendants, because he's not subject to the curse. So this is a beautiful thing that's happening here that just shows how magnificent God is in orchestrating all of this.
Yes.
And two points before we talk about the lineage in Luke. When Joseph accepted Mary and retained her as his wife, he became the adoptive father of Christ, the divine child.
Yeah.
So he thereby passed the right of royalty to Jesus. Again, the royal right. And in the line of Solomon, son of David and Bathsheba, he descends. So I find this such great hope in this, because from David's sin came the Messiah. His relationship with Bathsheba produced Solomon. And how fitting is it that because, you know, this whole thing echoes our humanity and fallen nature, the very thing that Christ came to forgive. He is the kingsman's redeemer. You know, through the sin, through David's transgressions, we see the kingship of Christ and the redemption of Christ emerge. It's just so amazing So powerful.
Yeah.
And then what we read in Luke adds a whole lot more to this picture. So we can talk about that in just a moment when you're ready.
Right. Thank you. All right. Now, thank you, Rob. You just summarized the whole thing. Jesus was a descendant of David physically through his mother. That lineage is traced in Luke 3:23-31. Luke traces Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam to prove that through his mother, Jesus was physically the Son of Man. Luke notes the literal family line of David to Jesus, though using a different list of ancestors. Many believe Luke's genealogy offers the family line of Jesus from Mary's family. If so, both sides of the family of Jesus descended from David. This is the key point. Now we have that's a major issue here when it comes to Luke genealogy and that of Matthew. We have an issue there that we need to talk about. But Rob, you said you have something for Luke.
Before I do. So just to reiterate, his heritage, his lineage through Joseph, his father, mm-hmm. is that of the royal line mm-hmm. of David. Now, the lineage here, mm-hmm. that is through, you know, we see the son of Heli. This is through Mary, his mother.
Right.
And it's very important as well in establishing Christ's authority as king and Messiah. Mm-hmm. So now this is his biological line. So we see one that he, you know, through his father, his mm-hmm. adoptive father, here is the royal line.
Right.
Now, this here in Luke traces his biological line through Mary, his mother. This, when we go back and we look at it, mm-hmm. this is actually the legal line of his descent.
Right.
From eldest son to the next.
Right.
Even though these didn't, descendants did not reign as kings.
Mm-hmm.
But in the custom, typically the eldest son inherited everything and typically became king as well. But we saw with Solomon and with some of the heirs and with David himself, mm-hmm. He was not the eldest, he was the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is who God anointed and chosen this. So he has both legal authority. You know, so basically, both of these lines establish his Jewish heritage and his legitimacy as the Messiah, mm-hmm. the anointed one. So Jesus Christ is both the legal and royal heir to the throne of David. This is just awesome what we see that is established in these genealogies.
Yeah, that's the beauty. It's the beauty of Scripture, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the differences. There are two things in one. In the genealogy of Matthew, Matthew said Joseph's father was Jacob, and Luke said Joseph's father was Heli. So now, who is the real father in this sense? Scholars have been fighting over this. They've been trying to do their best to bring a real answer to this confusion in the text in a way that they want to know exactly who is the right person, whether it's Jacob that is mentioned by Matthew genealogy or it is Heli that was mentioned by Luke. Now, I want to bring to you what M.C. Black, in his commentary on Luke, published by College Press. And I just want to bring that to you because, I mean, I love what he said, okay? Let me just read it. Let me quote him. I got it right here. Quote. Now, listen carefully. The differences between Matthew's and Luke's genealogies have occupied the attention of students of the gospel since they were first written. The problem is that 38 of the names met between Jesus and David are different in the two lists. Most notably, Luke writes that Jesus' grandfather, Mr. Joseph's father, was healing. Whereas Matthew writes that it was Jacob. Now, here is the whole thing. It was Jacob. Literal scholars believe that there is no solution, that at least one of the genealogists is simply incorrect. Conservative scholars have offered various suggestions in order to harmonize the two, but no single solution has claimed scholarly consensus. The discussion is very complex, and the interested reader should consult any of various sources that engage it, unquote. Now, he is saying something here that this is a real complex issue. How do we, who is right in the sense with the names of the genealogists in Luke and the one in Matthew? How do you bring the two things together? That have been a debate of scholars over the year. Now, I want to bring to you what Donna A. Carson, he's a great scholar, I think many of you know about him, what he said, his solution to the problem. And I want to cook the whole thing. I love what he said here. All right, in his commentary on Matthew, Carson writes, quote, "The best solutions are, one, Luke followed the line of David through Nathan, whereas Matthew followed David's line through Solomon. That is, Luke followed the actual biological lineage. Matthew followed the legal lineage. Two, Jacob and Healy, grandfather of Jesus, according to the two genealogies, were actually brothers, one of whom became grandfather through leverage marriage," which you can find in Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10. Three, "Matthew traced Jesus' descent through Joseph, but Luke traced it through Mary. This is argued best by reading Luke 3:23, not as traditionally understood. Jesus was the son of Joseph, so it was thought of Joseph. The son of Healy, it should rather be read as Jesus was the son, so it was thought of Joseph, but really of Healy, who, it is then argued, was actually the father of Mary." Unquote. Now, Dr. Carson brought in a picture here in the solution to the argument that I thought it was so great. Now, in the culture at the time, if your brother have a wife, and then your brother died, then you can take over the child. The right go to the dead, but you become someone who will cover up for your brother. So he is saying here, what he sees into the whole thing is, Healy and Jacob were brothers. And so that's how the whole thing tied together. And I just love the way he argued out here, even though it's kind of difficult for many people to see it that way. But I think he brought in a point that is so good to talk about. And Rob, do you have anything? Do you have any idea? We're going to talk more about this next week. But let's see. Do you have any thought on this?
No, I concur. Yeah, I think that's how the lineage is being traced as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I found in my research and what makes sense from this. Because, you know, he is a son. It's a son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really no difference, if you will. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely right.
Right. I think he argued outright, and I think the solution, the scholars always, you know, debating, so we know that. But I think when you look at the levirate marriage in the Old Testament, what was the culture then? You know, you could take over, even though you will be the father, but the legal father is dead, and so you are there as a brother. So that this is what he's presenting here, and I think it makes sense. Okay. Oh man, our time. Good. Now we have proven to you that Jesus is the son of David. We found this in the genealogies we have in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke 3. We brought the two together. We've been discussing it here. And you see, what we want to prove to you tonight, what we are saying to you tonight, is by genealogies we found in Scripture that Jesus is the son of David. And in fact, Jesus himself said, in the text that I read, in Revelation that I read, the text that he said, he is the root of David, the offspring of David. Jesus himself said that in Revelation 16. Go back to that. He himself said, I'm the root of David. I'm the offspring of David. And I love what Rob said, and this is the truth. When we think about sons or daughters in terms of the Western mind that had to do with biological daughters, then we miss it. Then we miss it. Okay, we will look at this more. Bring some examples in that next week by the grace of God. Okay, there's anyone here tonight? I think we need to study our time. Oh man, hey, we can see it. We say we will prove it in three ways. One way is that we have proven tonight to you. It is by genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, prove that Jesus Christ descended from the line of David. Mary descended from the line of David. Next week, we are going to discuss other, we might bring some other example, but we look at God's covenant with David. That's so important to this discussion. So, all right. If there anyone tonight that with our live, if you have any question, let me unmute everybody. If you are with us tonight, please welcome to ask your question or make comment. All right, and we are going to make sure to listen to you or answer the question. If you have any question, please do ask your question. Okay, now, no questions. Okay, this is what I want to appeal to you before Rob gives us our concluding remark tonight. If you are watching this video, you are on our website, please leave us a message, all right? Just below, leave us a message. If you are watching the video on YouTube, there is thumbs ups and thumbs down. You make the decision. Watch this video and hit that button. If the teaching that is good, give a thumbs up. If it is not good, give a thumbs down. That will help us. Or you can leave a comment. We want to hear from you. All right, we want to hear from you. And if you are watching this video, you can join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. We have 40 some more videos out there now. Great teaching, and they are free. All right. So thank you for joining us tonight. Hey, Rob, do you have a concluding a remark?
Yeah, I just have a final thought, a summary, if you will. That so what we've looked here tonight in these genealogies is we have established that Christ is the son of David.
Right.
He is both the legal and the royal heir.
Right.
To David's throne. He is the Messiah, the anointed one of God.
Uh-huh.
He is the king.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, we just see the just a wonderful fulfillment of Scripture. We see the fulfillment of the prophecy.
Yeah.
Everything's just so perfectly orchestrated.
Yeah.
There should be no doubt, you know, that he has both the legal and the royal right to the throne.
Right.
Both as king and both as king and Messiah.
Yes. Yes, thank you. That's really great. The beauty of scripture. Jonah, next week, invite somebody, 8 p.m. every Sunday. Join us. All right. Okay, Rob, can you lead us in our final prayer?
Certainly. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and King. Thank you so much, Christ, for descending to this earth in human form, in feeble flesh.
Yes, Lord.
But in your holy perfection, Father, living a sinless life, an example by which we strive for. Thank you for coming to redeem us, Father. Lord, you are King, and only you are worthy to be praised. Thank you so much for this time.
Thank you, Lord.
For loving us, Father. In your name we pray.
Hey.
By the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Join us next week, 8 p.m. Every Sunday night, 8. Invite someone. God bless you. See you next week.